While I was in formation for the diaconate over 10 years ago, I remember my wife and I having a discussion over my belief that life and consequences were very straightforward, that things were always black or things were white, that things were right or things were wrong. And I would say to her, well, that's what the Bible says, or that's what our catechism says, and the church teaches, and the laws, and the commandments, the norm. I never really won her over with any of these arguments and claims. She looked at me and said, surely you understand that that isn't really how it works, and everything isn't really black and white. Everything is actually gray. And that there is nothing that is normal except the setting on a dryer. Very wise woman. In due time, I find out that she was right. I've come to learn on my journey that at times it is exceedingly hard to answer all of life's questions and problems and trivializations only on the premise of faith. At times, I have to be able to use reason. Ultimately, seeking answers through reason could lead me to have a stronger faith. It's true that humans have the gift of reason, and so I believe we should use it. But I also believe that the Bible is divine. So where is the balance? There are times when the world presents a problem to me, and I see nothing but gray, and I have to reflect on not only what I think, but on what is right. If what I perceive differs from what the Bible says, then I say to myself, clearly, Deacon, the Bible is right, and you are wrong. But it doesn't end there. Then I have to set about to understand the difference of what the church teaches. I think these are good exercises because they draw me closer to God and His plans. I think that's exactly what Mary was doing in today's gospel. But why all these rationalizations? A couple of reasons. Clearly, in today's readings, we all can see and hear this call for hospitality for any guest who comes to visit us. I get that. It's easy to understand. We're to be kind and courteous to all travelers. There is also, I believe, a secondary underlying theme that runs through the Gospels, both today's and last week's readings. And it is this. It is a call to discipleship. Before I lose anyone because I said the word discipleship, please hear me. I'm not asking you to do anything for me, and I'm not asking you to do anything for the church. I am asking you to do something for yourself. I'm asking you to consider your awareness or your mindfulness for God. The challenge in achieving this imperative is that it takes an awful lot of time and contemplation. If we're not mindful, then we deceive ourselves, as many of our culture have done, doing so and believing that they're doing God's will simply because they're nice people. It's not really how it works. It's bigger than that, but at the same time, it's simpler than that. It is discipleship, a mindfulness of God and His will. Take a quick look at the readings. In last week's reading, you saw a Levite and a priest so consumed with being ritualistically pure and staying within the law that this decision led them to not only avoid the beaten man and cross over to the opposite side of the street, but they then mentally moved away from God by doing the opposite of what God calls us to do, to care for one another. Today we see also some very unconventional things in our gospel. Jesus enters a village and a woman welcomes him. Martha welcomes him. Did you notice in the first reading that Abraham rushed out to visit the three visitors? A man from the house goes out. Very unconventionally, Martha goes out, not Lazarus. Mary, who was the sister, sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. That's very typical of what all men would do if a famous rabbi came for a visit. Not the women, but the men would be sitting and listening. The women would be in the kitchen, preparing food and serving. Martha, burdened with serving too much. Can you imagine in this heat that we've experienced this weekend, trying to feed 16 to 20 people over an open fire, serving, cooking? It would be unbearable. You have to ask yourself, what was that boiling point for Martha? What was it that finally made her go and talk to Jesus? Was it really because of all the serving? Or was it because Mary was sitting with all the men? And either she believed that she didn't belong there, or she felt like she should be there as well. Ultimately, Martha goes to Jesus and says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." Well, Jesus knew where Mary was. She was sitting right in front of him, but he never corrected her. And then you realize that this reply that he gave Martha was also very telling for us today. When he said, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and worried about many things, but there's only need of one thing. Mary has chosen the better part." Are we paying attention to what Jesus has taught? Listening is not only good, listening is a necessity. It is incredible to me as a teacher how many times a student, whether they were a kindergartner or a senior in high school, has taken an assignment that I've passed out and started to fill out all the information wrong before I've even given them directions. It's like they don't even care what they are. But I guess to some degree we all do the same thing. Sometimes when we cook, we change recipes because we don't have all the right ingredients, or we want to add our favorite one and we change things up. But then there's times when we have projects to complete at home, and no guy will ever admit to this, but when we're finished and we have leftover parts, simply because we don't stop and ask somebody, "Hey, what is this for?" we simply discard them instead of listening and talking to someone who knows what we need and knows how to help us. In very much the same way, spending time with God and being aware and mindful of his movements, guides how they move and guide our days and our lives, is so important. Let's take a look and reason through some of these readings. And we think about order and laws and how they're important. They're clearly important. Otherwise, God would not have given us 10 commandments. But is law more important than human beings? Is that law more important, and is that why the Good Samaritan is so revolutionary? Because a non-Jewish, a non-religious person was pleasing to God and doing the right thing. Some scholars compare Martha and Mary to two types of religious life, one filled with action and the other filled with contemplation. I would argue that the two are not separate, but they are singular, that they coexist and necessarily in a symbiotic relationship. But one must come before the other in order to have success. Now, being mindful of God's movement, let's take one more look at the readings and see that, first of all, we need to recharge our spiritual batteries. It is a well-known fact that people who are in the caring professions suffer from burnout and terminal exhaustion. They are people who suffer and they often end up angry and anxious and worried. That's why we need to put aside work, the work that we do for God in serving others, just to spend some time to be with Him, talking to Him, listening to Him, to be completely aware of His holy presence in our souls. Martha and Mary can provide such a balance. Secondly, we need to be aware that we need serving Marthas. Martha has become a symbol of action, of responsible people to get the job done. And our world needs such men and women, and so does the church. How could the church survive if not for Marthas and Marks? There's nothing wrong with being a responsible, action-oriented, get-it-done kind of person, but we must find time to listen to God speaking to us. In the Bible, in the book of James and Matthew, Jesus clearly calls us to be hearers and doers of the word. Notice, hearers comes first, and He never reverses that order. Thirdly, we do have to focus on becoming good listeners like Mary. While Martha has become the symbol of the busy modern world, Mary must become the symbol to slow down and quietly listen to God. Being preoccupied with what has happened at our workplace and not being attentive to loved ones at home, not being attentive to God, can cause disastrous outcomes for our relationships both here and in heaven. The more we listen, the more we grow. We have to consciously choose to take time out of every day to listen to Jesus, to get to know Him better, to be His guest and welcome Him, and let Him welcome us as well. During the rest of Mass, even at this very point, let us pray more deeply, more intensely for God to work in our hearts, to forgive our sin, to transform us the way we think and act, so that we can become more like Mary, to understand that there is need of only one thing, and to choose the better part. Let us mindfully choose to say no to distractions and noise in order to say yes to God's will and soak in His loving presence and His tender teachings for our lives.